Amen. All right, Lord, we just praise you and glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you for this great and wonderful time that we're in. We praise you, Father, that we are part of, we're going to be a part of it. And Lord, as long as we keep our eyes focused on you and our ears listening for you, we're not going to make any mistakes because you're going to lead us and guide us into the way that you want us to go, Lord. We thank you for keeping us on that narrow lane, Lord. And we praise you for that. We praise you, Lord, for all the healings that have taken place, all the deliverances that have taken place. We thank you, Father, Father, for answering all of the prayers that we have spoken, all the circumstances that come up that you have corrected. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. You're an awesome God. We love you. And we thank you, Father, for leading us and guiding us into the way that you want us to go. And we praise you, Father, for this great revival fixing to happen throughout this world, Lord, to populate heaven. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, for your man-child ministries. That's the anointing is fixing to happen for the man-child and the bride. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for all that's going to happen tonight, too. We praise you, Father, for that. When we pray, we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. We thank you for it. Father, you said when we use your name, Jesus, that we're going to get what we pray for. And I thank you for it. We're going to stand just like you. We're going to act like you. We're going to talk like you. We're going to talk like you, Lord, and we praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us all the things that you've taught us in the past and the things that you're fixing to teach us too. In Jesus' name, we praise you for all of our family coming into the kingdom because we pray for them and believe for them, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the angels that are round about us. And we thank you, Lord, for the Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you even come to visit at times. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do tonight, too. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Hi, Julie, did you get through?
Mostly. Yeah, mostly. I still
Okay.
got a little bit to do in there, but.
Okay. All right. All right. Has anybody got a prayer? I would like. Oh, okay, Andrew. I almost couldn't see that thing.
I just like to pray about, again, remaining in focus. Father God, we come before you. Ask you to remind us to remain in focus with you, Father, to watch these flesh things that come up and to fight the good fight of the faith and to not let them overtake us, that we would overcome. Help us, Lord, to stay away from the worldly words that are out there and the worldly spirits and the flesh spirits, Father, and keep us, Father, to continue in the work you started in us, that you called us to a new life in Christ Jesus, that we would always remember to have that light and that life in us, and to be your witnesses in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you for bringing down the deep state, helping Trump bring down the deep state, bringing exposing all the way that the corruption in the deep state political system in this United States. And we praise you, Father, for exposing all the perpetrators of it. And we praise you, Lord, that this is going to make a big change here shortly. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty job. Thank you, Lord, for your angels that will and are helping out in this endeavor to clean up this government. Boy, that's a job too. It's a lot of it. All right, Teresa, there.
Okay. Oh, we're on mute. Okay. I can't really think of one in particular,
We
but
can't understand you.
if you can think of one, maybe a prayer protection for my kids.
Okay, somebody help me out. Yeah, I couldn't
Oh, I can't
understand.
really think of one in particular, but I like a prayer protection for my kids, if you can think of one.
Sure. Yeah, we can pray for that.
Because you don't
Father
know,
God,
I mean, not worth
you've
worrying
given
about.
us household.
Can you hear me now?
I heard
Okay,
that you wanted
yeah.
us to pray for your
I
children. Yeah, we can do that.
can't really think of one, but if I'd like a prayer,
I'm not hearing
just
anything.
like a prayer. Yeah, a
Teresa.
prayer protection, yeah. So
Okay.
I think
All right, let's
then,
do that when
Teresa,
we get.
you might want to turn your camera off temporarily. It's taking up a lot of bandwidth and we can't hear what you're saying.
Camera.
What I'm going to do, while you're doing that, I'm
Okay,
going to
so
go
I'm
ahead
going to
and
turn
pray.
the video off right now.
Okay. I'm going to pray a prayer of protection and household
Okay.
salvation for you. Lord, we lift up those children to you, and we thank you, Father, that you have given us that promise. And we praise you, Lord, that when we pray and believe, that we're going to receive what we believe. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing in all of his family into the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Father. We break the power of Satan off of all of them, every one of them, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that we're going to
Amen.
believe that
In
they're coming
Jesus'
in
name.
even as we speak, that the Lord of harvest has sent people around about to them to speak to them, that they'll listen to and come into the kingdom in a mighty and wonderful way, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your shield of protection around them too, Lord, that no attack of the enemy would penetrate and get to them, Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
In
Thank
Jesus'
you, Lord,
name.
that gonna bring them all in. And Lord, we thank you that Teresa and Terry are going to just praise you now because it's done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Anybody else want to pray?
In Jesus' name,
Good.
God will do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, was there anything else, Teresa or Terry? Okay.
Nothing I can think of right now.
Okay. All right. I heard you good then. Thank you, Jesus. All
All right.
right. Go ahead, Pat.
So, something I thought about today, this morning, actually, it was on the news tonight. I know that the government, like Elon Musk and this Doge or DOGE process, is uncovering a lot of, corrupt. Money flowing to for certain purposes. And so my thought today, in other words, someone just, I think there's been lists and lists that have come out, and $2 million for this and $2 million for that and whatever. It's just a lot of stuff. But my prayer is to for Musk to find a way to trace the path of that money after it goes to, because I believe what is happening is, let's say you have $1 million designated to a for the purpose of transgender mice studies. And of course, everybody,
thinks about that and laughs about it or whatever. But the real meat of that subject is to find out where that money is going after that. In other words, is it being funneled to an organization that is then divvying up that money to go to certain other purposes? So I think these things, though they are good, that they're putting an end to a lot of this stuff and cutting off the source of funding, but I think the real the important stuff, or the awareness building stuff that's going to really allow the American people or people of the world to see what is really happening. What is the purpose for all of this? Where is this money going? Offshore accounts, or is it going, once we're able to identify that and track that, I think you're going to start bringing accountability to specific individuals, which I think is necessary. So, Father, I just ask you to open up Musk's eyes and the team's eyes, Trump's eyes, to follow the money, basically, not just to cut it off at its source. That's one important thing, but to follow this money and to find out where it is actually going, who it's enriching, and how it's enriching other individuals. So I thank you, Lord. I just thank you for putting your angels upon that task, and just to lead the Doge team in this specific task. And I thank you for it, Lord. Just raise up the technology and the ability to track all of those funds and bring this system of corruption down. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you doing it quick too. We thank you, Father, that they're going to send it all the way straight to Pam Bondi's office when they find out who it is, what it is, and how they're getting it. In Jesus' name, we send the angels out there to go ahead and get the money back right now and put it back in the treasury. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's good. Praise God. Go ahead, Andrew or Ben or whoever else that is in there, will you?
I want to raise up a prayer for.
Wait a minute, I muted you rather than got your hand down. I'm sorry. Oh my.
Here we go.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Want to, it's all good. I want to raise up prayer for the kids that are being kidnapped and thrown in these disgusting whatever they do to them.
Yeah.
Lord, we pray for your mercy, Father. Mercy for the innocent children. Mercy for the innocent women and men too, Father. But just, I'm praying for children, Father, that you, for the people that are looking for these kids that are lost, Father, I pray that you help them find them. I also just pray that you just miraculously break them out of any prison or any sort of underground tunnel or any sort of underground vault that they're in, like you did with all your apostles. Lord Father God, we know that you can do this, and we know that you know where they are. Lord Father God, let it be for your glory, and let them know that it was God that saved them from this demonic cult that wants to do these things to them, Father. Lord, we thank you so much for saving the innocents. We thank you so much for saving these kids. We thank you so much for being sovereign over all things, Father, for your glory and for your greatness. Lord Father God, let these words not be done in vain, but let us keep our faith knowing that you've taken care of these kids. Thank you, Father, for doing this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them out and healing them as you come out and delivering them as they come out. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. There's some kids that never seen the light of day, been down in those tunnels. But Lord, you can fix them in a half a second. Okay, anybody else? Can I get y'all to believe with me? All right, Lord, I lift up Jeanette to you, and I thank you, Father, that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus, I break the power of the COPD on her, and I command those lungs to be filled with air and breathe normal in Jesus' name. I command all the things that are hindering her, all the torment and pain, all the tormenting things that are happening to her right now, be healed and be whole right now in Jesus' name. Lord, your word says by his stripes she was already healed 2,000 years ago. I believe it and I command it on her right now in Jesus' name. You spirit of infirmity, leave her right now. Bind up all your works against her and cast you off of her right now. You be loosed from her right now in Jesus' name. And I command those lungs to fill up with air in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Megan. Joe B. Debbie. Barbara. Amen. Fresh, clean air, like she hadn't had in years. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Want to pray? Got a testimony. I got a testimony. Jeanette's healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to comment about or share? Okay, Julie, go ahead.
Thank you all for praying for my bee sting. I don't know if you can see it's nothing
Oh,
there. Maybe
rain.
just a little bit. It's my ring finger, but
Oh,
there's just a little
okay.
bit of redness, but it's gone. No swelling
Yeah,
anymore. No pain.
thank
Thank
you,
you,
Lord.
Jesus. I'm believing that bee's still alive somewhere. Amen.
You didn't pull out his stinger, did you?
Oh yeah, it was stuck in my finger. I had to get got my tweezers and.
Thank you, Lord, for growing
As
him another
it was
back.
burning. Gosh.
I'll bet it
Yeah,
was.
it's been a long time since I've been stung by a bee. And I'm like, I just looked at it and I'm like, that's not gonna hurt in the name of Jesus. But then immediately I just felt like this, oh my gosh, those things hurt. Just
It
a
does.
little bit of bee, you know? They hurt.
Yeah.
You know. Thank you all for
Amen.
praying.
All right. Thank you, Lord. She's here. Okay. Did somebody have their Pat, did you have your hand up or did you pull it back down?
Yeah, I was looking for a scripture.
Well, if you tell me what it is, I'll find it for you.
Well,
I'm
I
just.
just found it. I was a Mark Matthew 4:18.
Mark Matthew 4:18, you say?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's a general area
Okay.
of kind of the story that the Lord. I was driving to work today, and I usually, listen to a message or listen to something, and I was listening to the Lord all the way to work, and he was speaking to, I talked a little bit about the boring subject of jurisdiction a few, 2, 3 times, months ago or whatever, but it came up again today. And the Lord kind of put a little bit of clarity on it, but he added some stuff to it. And try to hopefully say it quickly and clearly. But it's significant to understand that, that we, in say in this country or in any other country in the world, we are governed by, I'm just saying, the United States, we're governed by a constitution or the law of the land. And this country has it has a certain jurisdiction. I think one of the things that that I was thinking about is that, when you leave, if you like take a cruise or you're on a boat or whatever, I think there's a 12-mile limit around the country that goes that limits the jurisdiction of the United States once you go out into the ocean so far. And if you're taking a cruise or whatever, I think it's customary that when you cross that line, you're notified on the boat. They may not do that anymore. I don't know. But the interesting thing is, when you're in this country, we're under the jurisdiction of this country, and you're underneath the law of the land, the protection and the law of the land, which is the Constitution. But if you go outside of the country, now you are in a place where that jurisdiction does not reach. Now, I'm not saying there isn't influences and everything or protections out there for citizens, but you cross over that line, you are now in a different jurisdiction. You're now under the authority of a different jurisdiction. Once you go outside of that country, you're under maritime law, which is a it's a different set of laws and a very vague and delineated set of law, because of the fact that you don't really have a structure to hold it. In other words, it's a very vague type of jurisdiction. I think I spoke a little bit on there is another jurisdiction, and that is called the jurisdiction of merchant law. That's another jurisdiction that kind of overrides even countries and constitutions. So it's kind of important to understand this, because what is happening in our country right now is that, and step back, jurisdictions, the jurisdictions were created, are created by agreements, by people coming together and making agreement. The jurisdiction of the United States under the Constitution came together and was created by people coming together under a common agreement, and which created the jurisdiction of the United States under the Constitution. Well, other jurisdictions can be created simply through people agreeing to certain things. And I'll try to drop it down to the basics. What happened to the foundation of what I'm thinking? And that is, when you have individuals, let's just say in the government or in the entertainment industry or the media or the business community, that are either bribed or threatened or coerced in some manner or tempted in some manner to violate and go and function lawlessly above the Constitution, they have entered in to another jurisdiction. They've entered into the jurisdiction of law merchant. Bribery is a form of payment and receiving of goods type thing. It's on the personal level. And when that happens, those people shift into a higher jurisdiction. It's not that they shift into a more righteous jurisdiction. They shift into a higher jurisdiction, meaning it's higher in that it is not subservient to the law and our the normal jurisdiction here in the United States. They're not subservient to it. That's why certain intelligence agencies can be called up before Congress to answer certain questions, and they answer them if they want, and they lie if they want. They don't care. They do it with impunity because they are not functioning under the Constitution. They are above it because of the corruptness that is there. So, this is the jurisdiction that Satan uses to for his influence to influence, and that influence is the influence of men, of mankind, shall we say, and it influences the operations and the practices and policies and all that of this earthly structure. What I've explained that happens in, say, the nation also happens in the world as a whole because other nations are being affected in the same thing. And what it is the spirit of lawlessness, which functions above the jurisdictions, the established jurisdictions of the world, of the earth. So the connection point that the Lord gave me today was that, and so let me stand back. Trump, President Trump, is so effective at function at doing things because he easily functions not only in the realm of constitutional under the authority of the Constitution and everything, but he also functions very easily in law merchant, in the influence of pressure and various other different things that are not necessarily subject to our constitution laws. It's more of an international agreement type of thing. I'm talking about tariffs and communication with other nations related to wars and this and that and financial agreements and all this. This is all functioning in a higher jurisdiction above the jurisdiction of the United States, and he does so with ease. And so the point that the Lord brought to my mind today was that Jesus, now Jesus functioned he subjected himself to the jurisdiction of the earth and functioned according to the laws through submission to leaders, submission to his parents when he was young, submission to recognizing the religious structure and everything. But the Lord, the God trained him, and when he was fulfilling his ministry on earth, he was functioning in a higher jurisdiction. He and with that meaning you can come and go, so to speak, through the jurisdictions. In other words, if I was a diplomat from another country and I come into America, I have a certain diplomatic immunity, so to speak. I could do certain things, and the United Nations, those diplomats will park and drive where they want and park where they want and this and all that. And they do that with it with impunity, but they can choose to be subservient to the laws of the land and live underneath that jurisdiction, or they can live above it, protected above it. Jesus did the same thing, in that he functioned in a higher jurisdiction. All of the miracles, what we would call miracles, healing, casting out of demons, all of these things, changing water into wine, those are not things that happened by the use of the cause and effect relationships governing this world. They were implemented and accomplished by functioning in laws of a higher jurisdiction. And just as a real kind of description of how that happens, and I've spoken about this before, the law of gravity has governed mankind for the last 6,000 years, basically. The last 200 or the last 100 or so, after the Wright brothers were able to harness the power of, the power of aerodynamics and propelled motorized flight, we were able to, by the use of the laws of aerodynamics, overcome the law of gravity. And therefore, now we travel all over the world, defying the law of gravity by operating in a higher jurisdiction and under the power of a higher law, so to speak. Well, this is what Jesus was doing when he turned water into wine. He didn't turn water into wine by sitting down and thinking, okay, if I put these chemicals together here and that, and I pull a little bit of this out of here and that and whatever, I can actually change this water into wine. He did not do that. He functioned in a higher jurisdiction. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made us free from the law of sin and death. It's a higher thought process, a higher level of thinking, of a different set of laws which govern our activity on the earth here. And the thing that I was thinking about is when Jesus, this description here in Matthew 4:3, is that right? It's in Matthew. I think it's in another gospel as well, but I'll just recount what it was. Jesus sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee, and he went up to the mountain to pray. And then it says he looked and saw his disciples in the middle of the ocean, and they were in the midst of a storm. Now, I think I'm in the wrong gospel here, but basically the thought was he went up to a mountain to pray, and he looked and saw his disciples struggling in the boat in the middle of the storm, out in the middle of the sea. Now, if you think about that a minute, if he was up on a mountain, just logistics say that, and they were out in the middle of the sea, there had to be a couple miles distance between him. And if you've ever tried to look with your eyes and look at something that's 2 miles away, number one, in here on the East Coast, you can't find a place where you can actually see 2 miles straight. But if you go out in the desert, you can. And if you looked at somebody, even in a car, you'd barely be able to pick up or make out that there was a car there. There's no way you're going to even recognize people in that car 2 miles away. You may be able to see the car. But it said Jesus looked and he saw his disciples struggling in the midst of the sea in the middle of the storm. That seeing was not seeing. That was the seeing governed by this jurisdiction of the earth. It was a seeing that was based upon the high, somehow based upon higher. God was utilizing that higher jurisdiction for him to actually see that. Then the biggest thing, or bigger than that, when he actually walked across the water and walked out there to his disciples that were struggling, and they freaked out thinking it was a ghost, etc. He walked across that water based upon the laws of a higher jurisdiction because gravity did not have effect on him. It did not govern his actions. So the thing that I guess the thing that I wanted to say as a result of that, those are examples. Everything that Jesus did when he rubbed dirt in the eyes of the blind man and told him to go wash, that was done in accordance to a jurisdiction which this earth has no concept of. Nobody on earth would say, okay, take some dirt and put it in those eyes, because these minerals in the dirt are going to do whatever. No, that did not happen. It was Jesus functioning in under the authority of a different set of laws that not only govern that realm, but also affect these lower jurisdictions. I'm sure I'm probably bringing people to tears if I just get this done. But if you look at Colossians, because in Colossians, Jesus tells us, God tells us, Colossians 1, for this cause, in verse 9 in chapter 1, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make request for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I believe that's a connection with understanding the jurisdictions, the laws that affect our life and our world here. To walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing of the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to the might of his glory, unto all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And this is the point, who delivered us out of the power of darkness. And I believe that word power, if I'm not mistaken, is the word for authority. Exousia, yes, it is the word for authority. In other words, he delivered us out from under the authority structure, the domain, dominion of darkness, of this, what is that dominion of darkness? It's this realm of the world, this jurisdiction of the earth, which Satan mostly influences through that jurisdiction of law merchant, or however you want to put it, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Well, what jurisdiction of that is that? Setting, we, the scripture says that we are setting in Christ at the right hand of God. We are partakers and of the inheritance of the saint, which is the functioning, the freedom to function in that jurisdiction which Jesus functioned in. He functioned above the laws of the land. He functioned above the laws that a law merchant or merchant law, which governed and oversaw the laws of the countries. And he was far above all of that. And that's the jurisdiction and the realm that he has prepared for us to learn to function in. And so I don't know. I hope I didn't, bore everybody with the details, but it's just, to me, it's the more I think about it, it's so, he's given us that, the training us to function and live in that jurisdiction, and that is where the works of Jesus are released in us to function as Jesus would function, to release him to be free to function in that jurisdiction through us. So I don't know. I think that's all I want to say. I probably shut my mouth now.
I think it was amazing, Pat. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was good.
Wow.
I do have some breaking news here that we need to pray against. A second Russian gas pipeline has exploded. Massive Ukrainian drone attack against the CPC pumping station in the Krasnodar region of Russia. So the Nazi has broken the peace treaty that they came up with today. He's trying to start World War III is what he's trying to do. He's trying to make a way for World War III. And that's what they want. That's what the deep state wants. They want another war. And we pray for the innocent people in their Ukraine and the children. Lord, we just ask and we pray that you, I tell you what, Lord, let's just do what Julie said. What did you say? Julie, go ahead and pray what you prayed a while ago. Unmute yourself.
Yeah, I just prayed a text. I just said, we bind this work of retaliation, their threatenings, false flag events, acts of war, lawlessness in the name of Jesus. We loose the angels to repair these pipelines and put the fires out. We command the healing and life to anyone caught in this work of destruction where they may have been harmed. And Father, we ask that the angels continue to keep Putin and everyone working with him protected. And Lord, give him and President Trump wisdom and to be in agreement with this on how to proceed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that nobody was hurt. You're taking it back before the timeline and bringing it forward. We praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody even knows what happened in Jesus' name, except us and the angels. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Yeah, it is. All right, something else. Let's pray against Soros's foundation going paying people to go out and destroy Tesla dealerships. Lord, we just thank you for exposing these people, every one of them. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you would get these people exposed before they do any damage anymore. In Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that you, I send the angels out there to take all of whoever's doing this, whoever's paying for it, probably Soros, taking all their money away from them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay, they're attacking conservative journalists too. And we cast down all of their systematic strategies to destabilize the people and the countries. In the Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Father, that the deep state is getting, even though they're getting backed into a corner, Lord, we thank you that the corner is nothing, that we can hold them in there. We put a fence around them where they can't do anything. In Jesus' name, angels go out there and do that. Keep them bound up for where they can't do anything. Take their money away and give it to the people who need it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Anybody else? Any of the journalists that have been hurt, Lord, I ask and I pray that the truth be known in Jesus' name and bring it forward to where the people who are the left mainstream media that are bringing this forward in a lying light, that they would be exposed, Lord, that they would also lose all of their readership and all their listenership, if that's what you want to call it, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just take their money away too. Send the angels out there right now to get their money and give it back to the Tesla dealers. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anybody else? And thank you, Lord, for placing a shield of protection around the journalists that are exposing these things, that are bringing it forward. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your shield of protection upon them as well. Thank you, Lord.
I have one more thing to add to that. Father, we just bind all of their nefarious acts. We pray that their works would be bound, their phones would, and their communications would be confused and scrambled in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just command that their accounts, their money accounts, all be frozen. And we bind up all their control, manipulation, and fear mongering that they're trying to do in their faction. This is faction. They're trying to turn people against Musk and the executive branch and all that Trump's been doing and trying to start all kinds of chaos and rioting and destruction. And we bind all that lawlessness in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for delivering people, Lord, that there be a holy fear of God to fall upon people, Lord. And maybe somebody needs to be set as an example that they get caught and say it as an example. Lord, I don't know what your plan is, but Lord, we just pray that you would be merciful to those who would repent. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for bringing down this wickedness. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that this
Amen.
is not going to stop Musk or Trump or Doge or anybody. It's not going to stop them, and they're all going to be caught. I know those. I believe all those cars. They all have cameras on the cars, in the cars, to capture anything that's going on around. So they're all going to be caught. They're not even trying to hide, really. So they're just really being foolish. So thank you, Lord. Let the fools, they would fall into their own traps and devices, as your word says, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man. Okay. I'm sorry, Pat. I just seemed to be something we're pressing that we needed to address right then. Get this thing settled down before David says it's not World War III. Okay, praise God. Yeah, let's play a song. Let's play a song. Y'all want me to sing or y'all want somebody else to sing?
You want me to play it, Michael, or you got it?
Yeah,
You said you had it
yeah.
ready.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I've got it ready.
Okay.
Ooh, thank you, Lord.
No regretting what it cost. God, I It's to our God.
I hope y'all don't mind me playing that one too. I just felt like I wanted to praise God for a little bit. That's all. Okay. Anybody got anything they want to share? Yeah, I do. Okay. We talked a little bit last week about drawing close to God and what it takes sometimes. I'd just like to give you a few words here from Andrew Murray out of the Deeper Christian Life. And I like this because it gives you instructions in how to do that. And it's not very long, if you don't mind. It's called The Deeper Christian Life by Andrew Murray. The first and chief need of our Christian life is fellowship with God, as we all know. The divine life within us comes from God and is entirely dependent upon Him. And as I need every moment, once again, the air to breathe, as the sun every moment anew sends down its light, so it is only in direct living communication with God that my soul can be strong. Because the manna of one day was corrupt when the next day came. I must every day have fresh grace from heaven. And I obtain it only in direct waiting upon God Himself. We'll read that again. I obtain it only in direct waiting upon God Himself. Begin each day by tarrying before God and letting Him touch you. Take time to meet God every day. Number two, to this end, let your first act in your devotion be of setting yourself still before God. In prayer or worship, everything depends upon God taking the chief place. I must bow quietly before Him in humble faith and adoration, speaking thus within my heart: God is. God is near. God is love, longing to communicate Himself to me. God, the Almighty One, who works all in all and is even now waiting to work in me and make Himself known. Take time till you know God is very near. Number three, when you have given God His place of honor, glory, and power, take your place of deepest loneliness and seek to be filled with the spirit of humility. As a creature, it is your blessedness to be nothing, that God may be all in you. And as a sinner, you're not worthy to look up to God, bow in self-abasement. And as a saint, let God's love overwhelm you and bow you still lower down. Seek down before Him in humility, meekness, patience, and surrender to His goodness and mercy, and He will exalt you. Oh, take time to get very low before God. Then accept and value your place in Christ Jesus. God delights in nothing but His beloved Son and can be satisfied with nothing else in those who draw nigh to Him. Enter deep into God's holy presence in the boldness which the blood gives and in the assurance that in Christ you are most well-pleasing. In Christ you are within the veil. You have access into the very heart and love of the Father. And this is the great object of fellowship with God, that I may have more of God in my life and that God may see Christ formed in me. Be silent before God and let Him bless you. I'm going to stop there. There's more, but I want to stop there and get your comments and see what you think. I think it's an awesome way to do it. I've done this, done it maybe not first thing in the morning, but sometime during the day. That's what we do. Yeah, Julie.
Michael, what were you reading from? I know it was my.
Andrew Murray's Deeper Christian Life.
Thank you.
Yeah. No comments? Yeah, Pat.
It reminds me, a few days ago, I was reading in First Peter chapter 5, and and actually the verse that led me over there was verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you look up to the verse preceding that, it says, likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you, gird yourself with humility to serve one another. And then this, I think, is the crux of this section of the scripture. It says, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And without grace, we can't be saved. I know we think tend to think in terms of, Ephesians 2:8, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, the gift of God. And our initial salvation and introduction to the Lord Jesus was through that grace, by grace. I like to think of that word that I think Strong's Concordance says it, that I like to mix the two. I think Vines and Strong's come together to put the definition of grace in unmerited. We like to use unmerited favor, but I like to define it a little more as unmerited divine influence upon the heart. And that grace that he puts in our life. And the more we humble ourselves, it's like he says, gird yourself with humility. Humility is the result of it is the result of humbling yourself under under the authority that is in your life. I know that and through that process, God puts that through that process of humbling yourself is a crucifixion to the pride, the inherent earthly perspective that is self-serving. It puts it to death by willingly submitting and humbling yourself below, underneath the authority that God has placed in your life. And in doing so, he puts grace into your life through that process. And the Lord has taught me, I know, that was that is a foundation of life, of Christianity, of walking with the Lord. That humbling humility, submitting to authority. When Jesus, when he was 9 or 12 or whatever that example was, when he was left in Jerusalem and he ended up in the day of the feast, the week or month of the feasts, and he ended up being left in Jerusalem by mistake and ended up in the temple. Amazing, the teachers and instructors of the law and the religious leaders of that time. He was amazing them at just the various questions that he was asking them. And yet it says, when his mother came seeking for him at the end of that story, it says he went back and subjected himself. He submitted himself to his parents. And it's that learning of humility. And it's a very, God makes sure that it's a very practical thing in our life because we face authority. There's an authority structure that we are plugged into. Wherever we're at in the structure of life, we're all in, we are all under authority of someone, something, something. We're all under the authority. And to the degree that we are able to cooperate with the spirit of that structure of authority, ensuring that we humbly or that we submit and respect that structure of authority, the result is grace, God pouring out grace in our life. And I know that that was one of the very first things that the Lord led me into when I became born again. He put me into a church structure in order to learn that, though I did not know I was learning it, but that is the very structure that I came out of the world and I had no, I didn't, I was a law unto myself. Whatever I felt, I did, and whatever I wanted to, now I wasn't some sort of renegade. I was a normal person. But that's the mindset that I was functioning in. I wasn't under any authority as far as I was concerned. I obeyed the laws, traffic laws and this and that. And but I didn't have a problem, if there was something that I wasn't a robber or a thief or anything like that. But if I needed to run a stop sign to get to where I or I I was the same old person that of normal self-justifying of my actions, and I excuse myself for anything that may be, questionable or whatever. I had no concept of authority or submission to authority. God had to put me into a regimented structure called the church in order to teach me and show me that, and is absolutely essential in our life because it is the vehicle through which he ministers grace into our life. And so because of that, we, because of functioning with that faith and understanding of humility, submission, and grace, we can, the Lord has set us free to be able to work anywhere. I mean, I'm not saying work employment, I'm saying to function under any environment under authority. That's why Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, that's why God put them under the absolute supreme authority. They were slaves. They had no choice but to obey and submit. But yet, God poured grace into their life and used them in miraculous ways, even to the point, because once you enter into the understanding and the faith of God functioning and being able to use the principle of authority in your life to function, to filter grace and into your life, he can put you anywhere, even in a prison, and you can still have fellowship with him. And he threw the three Hebrew children in the fire. He torched them. Sorry. Threw him in the fire, and the fire didn't hurt him because they had ultimate maximum grace on their life because of their humility. And you know, some would say, well, wait a minute. Those three Hebrew children, they weren't under submission. They weren't under, they said, King, we're not obeying, or when we hear the music, we're not obeying your God. But those three Hebrew children told the king, we don't need to think about this. We are not going to, our God can save us through this process, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to worship your God. And they weren't fighting with the king. They weren't, you know, picking him up, said, come across that line, big boy, and we have bust you and toss you into that fire. They weren't doing that. They were willing, they were under submission to the king, and they were willing to receive the consequences of disobedience. They respectfully disobeyed that command, and they were under submission to that king, and they reaped the benefits of maximum grace and sent forth, as a result, sent forth a revival in that country, and was instrumental, I believe. One of these days, you're going to see King Nebuchadnezzar in heaven because of the grace that was displayed in their lives. So praise the Lord. This whole section here is good to read verse 1 through 11 there. He's talking about elders, you know, elders, you know, and exhort elders to do certain things. But he says, but the principle is the same of whether it be in families, or whether it be fathers and children, or wives and husbands, or that structure of authority. Remember in verse 5, he says, likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elder. Be subject. Gird yourself with a humility. God isn't going to gird you. Now, he took the nation of Israel and he girded them with humility because he put them under subjection. He's teaching them how to submit. I'm going to give you an environment here of submission. This is what you need to do. But he wants us to learn to gird ourselves with his humility, serve one another, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that mighty hand of God is manifested many times in the authority structure that you find yourself in. So praise the Lord. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and knows how to bring us where we need to be. And he has an environment and a structure of of teaching and a structure of being able to get his word and his will and his spirit and his down through the process to make it into our heart. And it's all through humility and that grace that he gives. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Well, after you take time to get very low before God, number four, then accept and value your place in Christ Jesus. God delights in nothing but his beloved Son and can be satisfied with nothing else in those who draw nigh to him. Enter deep into God's holy presence in the boldness which the blood gives, and in the assurance that in Christ you are most well pleasing. In Christ, you're within the veil. You have access into the very heart and love of the Father. And this is the great object of fellowship with God, that I may have more of God in my life and that God may see Christ formed in me. So be silent before God and let him bless you. Because Christ is a living person. He loves you with a personal love, and he looks every day for that personal response of your love. Looking into his face with trust till his love really shines into your heart. Make his heart glad by telling him that you do love him. He offers himself to you as a personal savior and keeper from the power of sin. And do not ask, can I be kept from sinning if I keep close to him? But ask, can I be kept from sinning if he always keeps close to me? And you see at once how safe it is to trust him. We have not, let me read that again. Do, let's see. He offers himself to you as a personal savior and keeper from the power of sin. Don't ask, can I be kept from sinning if I keep close to him? But ask, can I be kept from sinning if he always keeps close to me? And you see at once how safe it is to trust him. We have not only Christ's life in us as a power and his presence with us as a person, but we have his likeness to be wrought into us. He is to be formed in us so that his form or figure, his likeness, can be seen in us. So bow before God until you get some sense of the greatness and blessedness of the work to be carried on by God in you this day. And say to God, Father, here am I, for you to give as much in me of Christ's likeness as I can receive. And then wait to hear him say, my child, I give you as much of Christ as your heart is open to receive. The God who revealed Jesus in the flesh and perfected him will reveal him in you and perfect you in him. The Father loves the Son, and he delights to work out his image and likeness in you. Count upon it that this blessed work will be done in you as you wait on your God and hold fellowship with him. It seems to me that the Lord is saying this, that it is all by faith that we do these things, that we know that we're in Christ, that we're walking in Christ as we do our day-to-day things. And that's an awesome way to understand your closeness with the Lord. What do you think happened when the three boys were Hebrew boys was in the furnace, and then here comes Jesus walking up inside the furnace with them? Oh man, we got it now. Lord of God, there ain't no fire now. Man, thank you, Lord, for that glass of ice water in the furnace. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he was so taken aback by it. I thought we sent three guys in there. And now there's, wait a minute. There's three guys. There was two, wasn't it? Anyway, he was really mystified by them. And then he found out who it was. And it's like Pat said, we might as well see him up in heaven because of it. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? All right, let's see. Number seven, the likeness to Christ consists chiefly in two things, the likeness of his death and resurrection, Romans 6 and 5. The death of Christ was the consummation of his humility and obedience, the entire giving up of his life to God. In him, we're dead to sin. And as we sink down in humility and dependence and entire surrender to God, the power of his death works in us. And we are made conformable to his death. And so we know him in the power of his resurrection, in the victory over sin, glory to God, and all the joy and power of the risen life. So therefore, every morning, present yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And he'll maintain the life he gave and bestow the grace to live as a risen one. Amen. All this can only be in the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Count upon him to glorify Christ in you. Count upon Christ to increase in you the inflowing of his Spirit. And as you wait before God to realize his presence, remember that the Spirit is in you to reveal the things of God. Seek in God's presence to have the anointing of the Spirit of Christ so truly that your whole life may every moment be spiritual. And as you meditate on this wondrous salvation and seek full fellowship with the great and holy God and wait on him to reveal Christ in you, you'll feel how needful the giving up of all, everything, surrender all, and receive him. And seek grace to know what it means to live as holy for God as Christ did. Only the Holy Spirit himself can teach you what an entire yielding of the whole life to God can mean. And wait on God to show you in this what you don't know. Let every approach to God and every request for fellowship with him be accompanied by a new and very definite and entire surrender to him to work in you. And by faith, must hear us through all scripture and all the spiritual life be the keynote. And as you tarry before God, let it be in a deep, quiet faith in him, the invisible one, who is so near, so holy, so mighty, so loving, in a deep, restful faith, too, that all the blessings and powers of the heavenly life are around you and in you. So just yield yourself in the faith of a perfect trust to the ever-blessed Holy One to work out all God's purpose in you and begin each day thus in fellowship with God, and God will be all in all to you. Well, that's as far as I'm going to go with that, but boy, that's pretty instructive, I think, to where this is where we ought to be right now, is seeking him daily before we start, or at least sometime, in the day, seeking for that manna that we need from him, seeking for his words for you. And the way to do that is get in the Spirit. Anybody got any questions or any answers? How many of you keep a notebook of the words that God gives you? Yeah. Well, I would keep a notebook every time that I sat down with God. And then you can go back over them anytime and see, oh, God told me to do this and I haven't done it yet. Lord, please forgive me. I'm fixing to get on it right now. Or thank you, Lord, for doing what you're doing for me. If you write it all down, you'll be blessed. Because I do, I go back through mine. I wish I had more in that book, in that notebook. But what I got, I treasure. And I don't mean just getting words from the Lord out of the Bible. I'm talking about words the Lord gives you. Okay. Everybody, we still got 20 minutes here. Is that right? Yeah, 20 minutes. Has anybody got any questions or any answers? Any testimonies? The reason that I wanted to read that is to hope that it would, in hopes that it would help someone understand what it is to be in communication with the Lord and have a personal relationship with Him. That's what it is. That's what you do. You sit down, you wait. The Lord, come on over here, sit down in this chair. Jesus, I'm inviting you to sit down in this chair and talk to me. That's what I do. I pull this chair right over there. So, Lord, you can sit here and I'll listen to anything you've got to tell me. And then shut up. I have to just shut up and listen. Glory to God. And then I start hearing from him. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that's the way I do it every day. How many of them have a little trouble with distractions like I do? I think all of us do. I don't be sitting in there acting like he's some kind of holy goat. I know we all get distracted at times, but I think it's really getting important that we do have that personal relationship with God every day and ask him, Lord, what is it you want me to do today? I can go back, Pat, I could go back in here the other day and I saw where the Lord told me to read this, read this, read this. And I get on it for a little while. And then something comes up, you know. Everybody have that? Something comes up. Then I have to go back a week later and say, oh gosh, he told me to do this and I hadn't done it yet. Finished it. So that's why I have to keep a record of it. Yeah, Pat.
You know, this is kind of more or less a practical habit that I found. A guy kind of taught me this one time. He called it a thought dump. And it's, you know, when you sit down and you're getting ready to read the Bible or pray or whatever, the first thing you have is these, you know, th thoughts coming in your mind of this and that. He said, just get in the habit, and the first thing in the morning or whatever, first thing you do, you write down all of these thoughts that are flying at you. Mow the lawn, fix a screen, do throw that stuff down on a piece of paper. Or whatever you use to put it on a list. Because that list, if you write it down, it'll never go away. I mean, it's until you throw it away. And what happens is you just dump it right out there on the paper and get it out there. And then you can take it and physically set it to the side, and you're free. You're free to now relax and seek the Lord, so to speak, pray or do whatever, because you know that after you do that, this list is still over here waiting and I can get to it. I don't have to constantly be thinking about it. It just became a very practical thing for me. So I just thought I'd throw it out there as a, one of
That's
those
a
little.
good idea. I think I'll start doing that too. That's a great idea. Thank you. Anybody else? Barbara says she does that too. Good. I think I'll start doing it. I'd have to take me a notebook, write all mine down though. No. All right, who's next? Who wants to comment a little bit on what drawing nigh to God, drawing close to God? How many of you want to do that? Gosh, I do. It's such a way. If we want to do it in a way that would make God happy, gosh, I think we all would want to do it, you know? What hinders us most of the time is our flesh. Trying to be still. If you're an active person like I am, it's hard to sit down for an hour or two, you know. But God can help us, can't he? Go ahead, Joe.
It was very interesting morning this morning. Usually, at night, just before I go to bed, I ask Lord to wake me up for time with Him and time if His fellowship. Fellowship each day. So since long time, I've been not putting an alarm. I'm just asking the Lord to do it for me. But this morning is specific. It's 3 minutes to 2 o'clock this morning. Just before fellowship start, and I woke up and I'm come and sit down. Usually start my day with the Lord, and I listen to fellowship, and I was praying all this, and then the Lord reminds me of it. My first, like you said, the thing you read as well. The first thing should be spending time and ask the Lord for the blessings for the day, for grace, and spending time with me. And I haven't done this morning. And I already confessed to the Lord, but just confess it before you all. It's so you're so caught up in your own things and took your own priorities and not depending on, of course, I'm depending on the Lord for each day, for each blessing I have. But it's so easy to get distracted, like this morning, and says, "Oh no, I'm gonna listen to fellowship," and then afterwards, it doesn't matter if I'm get less sleep. It's just I'm spending time, first with a fellowship and then with the Lord. And I remember now, it's the first thing should be about the Lord and not about something else. So I just confess that. So, yeah, thank you.
Amen, Joe. Yeah, Teresa, go ahead.
I have to get back to the prayers that God gave me to pray in the first place. You know, the words, my connection is unstable.
No, it's
That,
not.
okay, not exactly. It disappeared now. The unstable. So God gave me prayers in the first place when I began to pray for my, you know, when my kids were young and when I was first married to an unbeliever and who was unfaithful. And I got hit so hard, the devil comes to steal the word. And the prayers that God gave me were straight from His Holy Spirit and hugely anointed and very powerful. I got hit so hard with persecution and loss of my loved ones. It was unbelievable. And so, just over the course of time, it just wore me down. So, I just got to get back to the prayers that God gave me to pray in the first place.
Yeah. What little happens?
That was it.
Amen. Father God, we just thank you for doing all the mighty work in Teresa. Lord and God, we thank you, Father, that you're going to put her right back where she was. Not only that, Lord, closer relationship with you. And we praise you, Father, for giving all the gifts of the Spirit to be working in her life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. On all of it, I'm going to pray that for all of us, glory to God. Thank you, Father, that the gifts will be working in all of us. I praise you, Father. And we can get as close to God as we want to. It's the want to that keeps us from it sometimes. Lord God, you know, the closer you get to God, the more authority, the more power of God works in your life. And that would help to bring a lot of people into the kingdom. What is that? What happened there? Something just went all over my screen. You get off of here, demon, in Jesus' name. Had all kinds of funky looking language on it. Yep. Yep, I like that, Judy. Amen, Lord. We ask you to restore everything the enemy has stolen from us and draw us closer and deeper in love with Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Father. Not only that, Lord, we want to know that he's with us all the time, every time, speaking through us, leading us, guiding us, and directing our very thought. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father. The one that brought Jesus up straight to the throne. In Jesus' name. Who is that smiling face just showed up here? Hey, Nick. What's up, bud?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I just got out of work early.
Oh, yeah. I see that. Yeah, all right. Mama got you something to eat?
She made me a hamburger.
Get out of here. Did she? Awesome. Yeah. All right, that's good. Yeah, hamburgers is a staple around here. When I cook hamburgers, Nick, I'll cook a half a dozen of them so we can eat them for a week. You know, you can make a hamburger. You can make hamburgers.
We had them in the house that one day.
Yeah, we had them at that. We had them at your house that one day.
Do what?
We had them at your house that one day.
Hamburgers and potatoes.
Yeah.
You made hamburgers for us that time we were down there one time.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You ever had any of my jalapeno hamburgers?
Yeah.
They're good. They're good for you, little boys and girls. They are. Amen. Good to see you, Nick.
You too, Michael.
When you coming back down?
I don't know.
When the snow gets off?
It snowed today.
Oh. That's why you need to move down south, buddy. You won't have that problem.
Well, it's the first day of spring, so.
Either that or buy you an elephant, because elephants go in the snow, I'm sure.
You're an elephant rider, Nick.
Yeah. any length of time, it probably would be. Oh, my. Okay, anybody else?
Michael,
hey,
I got a question I'd like to ask Aunt Andrew. Right.
Okay.
I read this on
this story today. And I had a question. I'm going to read a little bit of the story. It's a news deal. It's about the new is it prime minister?
Mark Carney.
Yeah. The
Oh,
newly
Carney.
elected, yes, the newly elected Canadian prime minister, the Liberal Party banker Mark Carney, is reportedly about to dissolve the parliament and call snap elections. Carney wants to fully capitalize on the Liberal Party surge in the polls, a political phenomenon fueled by hatred and Trump derangement syndrome that's so pervasive in the U.S. northern neighbors. Mr. Carney, who replaced Justin Trudeau as head of government this month, will announce the dissolution of the Canadian Parliament on Sunday, and with voting to take place on April 28th, the official familiar with the matter told AP. My question is, is it by dissolving the parliament, is he dissolving the government? What's happening there? What's that
Well,
mean?
I sort of think it would be now you got to get ready for elections. But I think the government's closed now,
The
right?
government's closed as of right now because Trudeau closed them. I don't know if they've opened again. I know Pierre said that they are not open, so they can't even do anything right now. This is all
Does
news.
he have the authority to dissolve? I mean, that's all. That
Well,
is that the same as in America, Trump would dissolve Congress? Is that the same way? Does that work the same way?
I think by dissolving it, that means you got to get ready for an election. And that means the House is not sitting now. So if he's going to dissolve it, I guess what he's saying is get ready for an election because he wants to take advantage of the good polls that he has now.
So do you create a new parliament every election?
So every 4 years, I think what he wants to try and do is that right now we have a minority government for the Liberals. I think what he wants to do, this is just me, I think he wants to try and get a majority government so that he doesn't have to get the backing of the NDP anymore in order to make any kind of decision. He can just kind of make the decision. Conservatives will come against it, but it doesn't matter because they have the majority.
I see.
We have
That's
five
my
parties
idea.
here.
Yeah. We have five parties. We don't just have the two.
Okay. Wow. I just thought, wow, that's weird.
Yeah, this is all news
Dissolving a
to me.
parliament.
The first thing I thought of when you brought it up, the only thing opposing them right now is the Conservatives, and they needed to pay the NDP in order to get anything past Parliament.
So is that a deep state push to stay in power type of thing?
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah. Something like that. Carney's just like all the other ones. He's, in
All
my
the
opinion, I don't like talking bad about him, but they're all the
That's,
politicians. Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting. It sounded a little totalitarianism or
Yes.
something, you know?
We're seeing
Well,
a lot of that lately.
he's not elected. Like he's taken over for the prime
Yeah.
minister because the prime minister stepped down because everyone didn't like him. So it'd be a good time to pray for that guy who just stepped down anyway. So I
Yeah.
do. And maybe God will open his eyes to something. Anyway, so Trudeau stepped down and Carney's in there. He's got a lot of banking experience. Not only with the head of the Bank of Canada, but he was the head of the Bank of the British UK too
Yes.
at one point in time.
So
I think he was involved with the Jews too. Yeah,
how did he
so
get into office?
that's the one they picked.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
You need to
I
go
hear
back and
that
get
it's
another pick.
not. No, what all there's a bunch of liberals that get together to vote for him, but apparently even in that, all the liberals didn't get a vote. So there's something
Where are the
fishy there. That's
conservatives?
kind of,
Where
the
are the
conservatives
conservatives?
are Pierre Poilievre, and he right now he's got the higher polls, but not the margin for him. He was going to win with a majority. But
Now
ever
he's
since
gone. Yeah.
this thing happened with Trump,
With the tariffs.
his went down. And
You're talking about Trump making
for
Canada the
some reason.
51st state?
Yeah, yeah. And
Okay, I got you.
this conservative, the conservatives lost in that a lot. But I think they're gaining it back now because
They don't like Carney.
they're seeming to
Yeah.
find out Carney. He took his company that he owned and he sent it to New York. And they're using that against him because he knows that his company might not survive here with the, I guess, the more taxes or whatever. We're taxed to death.
The taxes that he's going to raise.
Yeah, the carbon tax. Yeah, he's going to raise it a lot. I don't know how much per
So he's
liter.
going to get all his wealth out of the country, yeah, before he puts a tax on everybody. Okay.
And that's why I believe Trump gave him his endorsement.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to the liberals.
Yeah.
But some people say that's just a trick. But I don't know. Something's going down behind the scenes that I have no idea about.
Yeah,
I don't want to
absolutely.
follow politics too much. I was into that too much, and that's what I've been praying about. I don't want to look at the news anymore. I don't want to be on that YouTube place anymore, looking at news here and there and looking at news in other areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just too much for me. Too much
Lord,
slander going around,
we thank you
Too
for
much
bringing
slander.
down Art Carney.
That's a different spirit than the rest of it.
Y'all remember who Art Carney was, don't you? I see he
We
reminds
have
me.
to have
You
the
know,
leader we have.
go ahead, Andrew.
We have to have the leader we have, even if it's
Group of
a
Goldberg.
leader, a leaders like you see in the Bible, like the Apostle Paul had to deal with when he appealed to Caesar. We all have to have our leaders. But
Fight,
hopefully we
fight,
can
fight.
open their eyes to turn
Yeah.
from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, to receive your remission of sins and to receive an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. That's what
Amen.
Paul said. And of course, the Roman governor called him a madman for that. And the king, what was Agrippa, said, "You almost convinced me to be a Christian." And then he said, "With but little, you almost convinced me to be a Christian." And then he said, "Whether by little or by much, I would that you were a Christian, except these bonds." And he put them back on course on what they were trying to discuss, the charges against him, and he didn't have any. So that's kind of like, can you imagine him standing before Caesar and he's looking at the docket and saying, "Hey, come here for a second. Where's the charges against this guy?" And you had him under arrest for 2.5 years already. So, it just makes you think about what's going on back in that time with the Roman Empire. They were sticklers to law, and they seemed to always be having a problem with that area of the world, which was Judea back then. And one of their own citizens accused of something,
Absolutely.
that and of course, where Pilate mix the blood of those people's sacrifices. You know, that was from Page News too, and the tower that fell upon the people. But you know, why did the Romans have to go to that detail? What was the reason for them, for Pilate to mix the blood of the sacrifices of these Galileans? You know, like that would be front page news. Can you imagine that in our newspapers today? Anyway, so there was other things that maybe perhaps enraged the Romans against that area of their empire. You know, like any big nation that has a big empire. You know, that there's areas of enraging, but we don't belong to these worldly empires. We belong to the kingdom that we seek you first, and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. And of course, you know, the humility of Jesus is a good example for us. Because he didn't even want to take credit when they wanted to make him king. After he multiplied the bread and the fishes, he said, "No, I'm not doing that, because then I'm taking credit for my father's work." So he went up in the mountain to pray and sent his people over the ocean, over the sea. So,
God's going to work it all out, ain't he?
He's going to work it out with me. He's got, I'm sometimes a little hard-headed, you know, so he'll soften me up and he'll do what's supposed to be done right in me. And I need the Lord as much as anyone else, maybe even more, maybe even a lot more. So praise God. Glory to God.
Okay. Well, we're out of time. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful night. We thank you, Father, that we are going to make it our discipline to get next to you every day. And we praise you for it, Father. We can place it in us, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.